What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For details, go to the website 98five.com.
We're on 98.5. This is Weekdays with Mike. Now, the Commonwealth has a Sex Discrimination Act, a Racial Discrimination Act, a Disability Discrimination Act, and an Age Discrimination Act. However, there is no standalone legislation to protect people of religion or faith against discrimination, or indeed for those who choose not to have faith or religion. The introduction of this bill, which is the Religious Discrimination Bill 2021, will fix this, to quote our Prime Minister. And to have a chat about this morning, joining me on the line is regular guest Simon Creek from HHG Legal Group. Good morning, Simon.
Good morning, Mike.
Now, this has been around for a little while. Regarding this bill, do you think the government has got the right balance with this bill?
I'd say this third draft is certainly more balanced, and it hits its main aim to allow religious organisations to effectively operate in accordance with what they believe or don't believe. But I think, if I answer that as a lawyer, I'd have to say, and have a duty to say, that there are certain sectors of the community who think it's entirely insensitive and goes entirely the wrong way. And we know that that was to be expected. We know that this has been a very divisive issue across the country. But I think, to be fair to, you know, good debate, we need to acknowledge the concerns that organisations like Equality Australia have raised. And in a nutshell, that concern is that a bill like this will enable faith-based organisations to discriminate, particularly against those in the LGBTQI community. And it's easy to dismiss that as paranoia, or perhaps, you know, jumping ahead the gun and not waiting for the act to take effect. But sensitively speaking, which we have to be, and I always want to be, I can see the concern. It's not, though, a concern that, in my view, should override the main aim and the main success of this third draft of the bill, which is, as the Prime Minister has stated, to bring some protections to all religious believers, even if they're atheists, even if the belief they want protected is the right to believe in no God at all.
Interesting. Simon, what about the controversial fallow clause in relation to employers and employees? Do you think this will be included? Have they made the call on that yet?
They have, and it's been kept out. It's been dropped. So that's certainly a criticism that the Australian Christian lobby has of this third draft. I personally think that that clause was so sharp from a legal perspective that it, the potential for abuse was always there. And at the end of the day, the overall bill, if it does become law in its current form, is going to provide employers with a raft of protections they don't have now, even if in the Israel Folau situation, he, in such an extreme way, might have still been able to be dismissed. But overall, I guess with all legislation, with all law reform, with all political decisions, we've always got to remember that no one's going to get everything they want. There'll always be continuing disagreement. And if I'm to look at this from the perspective of religious groups generally, whether employee, employer, you name it, I would say this third draft is a big jump ahead for the protection of religious rights.
Interesting. So I'll get you to hold the line there, if that's okay. 98.5, this is Weekdays with Mike. Joining me on the line this morning is regular guest Simon Creek from HHG Legal Group, and we are discussing the Religious Discrimination Bill 2021. Simon, the grey area of what is malicious and what is moderate, who actually defines what is malicious?
Great question. The background of that, when we look at the concept of a religious discrimination bill, is a state law in Tasmania in particular that effectively enables people to be sued if they make a comment someone finds simply offensive. And obviously that type of allegation can arise in discussions about religion very, very easily. And it has done, and it has led to people of certain faiths in that state and others actually facing criminal penalties for making comments that I think most Australians, I'm going out on a limb there, would consider to be quite mild and simply, you know, part of their freedom to have an opinion. So this act, well, this bill, this new religious discrimination bill, seeks to override that and bring in the term malicious, not merely offensive. And interestingly, it doesn't define malice, but malice in the law generally is a very, very commonly defined term, and it is quite a high bar. It is quite a strong test. So this bill is not intended to protect people with a faith who use their faith to intimidate, harass, or vilify. Absolutely not. It has to be a moderately expressed religious view that does not incite hatred or violence. That, I think, is a good roadmap to sensible debate over contentious issues. But I will note, because it's, I think, an important part of the discussion, that, again, the critics of this bill think that that vagueness and the lack of a specific definition of malice is deliberate, and that it's deliberate to allow people to say and write and communicate things which could be discriminatory today but won't be once this new law is in. Again, I think there's some paranoia there. I understand that paranoia. Let's be frank. Minority groups have been vilified and persecuted far too often, even in this country. So I get that. But the common law definition and all of the cases over decades and decades defining malice are pretty clear. It's got to be pretty full on.
So Simon, just on that then, so will this bill override any state laws?
That is its aim. It's yet to be seen. Because it is only a bill, in its third draft, there is some further consultation to be had. And obviously, one of the big issues to, I guess, tie off on whenever you're finalising federal legislation is its impact on state legislation and the extent to which it does override. The aim is, though, of the government to make sure that this is the law that governs anything to do with religious discrimination right across Australia. It's a good point, a good time to just raise one other little sub-point relating to that. And it's the discussion we've had on air recently, Mike, about conversion therapy. And
yes,
the, I think, quite legitimate fears of the gay community as to, you know, old practices, horribly and dreadful practices carried out in the past to force people to change their sexual preference. That same community is worried that if all state laws are overridden by this federal act, then old-style conversion therapy might be legal. That is not the intention of the federal government. They have spoken out very seriously against old-style conversion therapy. The aim here is, though, to still allow churches and chaplains and even parents to talk to children if those children want advice about their sexuality. And at the moment, that's under threat in this country, and that's probably one of the biggest reasons I think this new bill is very important.
Yeah, okay. Simon, I'll get you to hold on there. We'll come back and wrap things up. I'm keen to talk to you about and get your thoughts on what impact this will have for religious schools. On 98.5, Simon Creek's with me on the line. We've been discussing the Religious Discrimination Bill 2021. Simon, just to finish off our chat today, what's your thoughts on will religious schools be able to retain their ethos?
That is one of the biggest aims of this bill, and not just schools, but universities, hospitals, all sorts of groups, including employer groups. And in effect, the bill wants to allow those, let's say, schools to engage in conduct that a person of the same religion that the school says it stands for would reasonably be considered being in accordance with their faith. Now, I'm simplifying the language, but that's a big aim. And the second aim is to provide some protection to avoid injury to the people who are believers, who actually say publicly, I am of this faith and I want to run a school this way. So yes, more than retain their ethos, the aim is to strengthen the protections of, for example, Christian or Muslim schools. And while there's big debate as to whether that's needed, because it hasn't been a huge issue in this country, so that's a point to remember, you know, do we necessarily need to beef up that protection? There are different views. There's also real fear and concern, which I understand from, in particular, the gay community, as to just how far this could be used to discriminate against them in the workplace. And I say I've got sympathy for that because it has happened inappropriately in the past. And that's why I think the bill takes a sensible step and insists that for schools, etc., to take advantage of these new protections, they would first of all have to have published very publicly a policy about their practices, their beliefs, so that anybody applying for a job or working there knows full well whether or not their beliefs align with their employers. I think that's fair. Yeah. I think it's sensible. And it just begs the question, if your values and beliefs clash so greatly with a potential employer, why would you want to work there in the first place?
Yeah, it's a good point. Simon, and just a quick one before we wrap up. Do you think this bill is going to be sorted before the next federal election, or is it going to drag on, you reckon?
We've been digging deep trying to get guidance, obviously from outside the law, et cetera, yeah. and talking to different contexts within politics.
Yeah.
The I'd say no, it doesn't look likely because there's some further consultation. But it'd be interesting to see as a result whether or not it does become an election issue, something that people are concerned about. And I think that's important. If it's not done and dusted by the federal election, then Australians need to be asking themselves, does this protect something critically all important to me, which is my right to believe what I do religiously, and which party is most likely to get it done? I think that's an important question.
Simon, really appreciate your time today, having coming on and discussing this. I think we've got some more discussions about this as we head into next year. I've got a funny feeling.
So do I. Yep, I'd say stay tuned and watch this space.
Indeed. Good on you, Simon.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, or visit the website 98five.com.